There are two scripture readings listed in your bulletin. The more familiar of the two is the one found in Luke, which tells of the Annunciation, the announcement to Mary by the angel that she will be bearing God's child, the Savior of the world. But I'll just be reading the selection from Matthew's Gospel, one that we read, it seems, less often, but also tells of an angelic appearance pronouncing the upcoming birth of the Son of God. Will you join with me in prayer? Send, O Lord, your Spirit upon us all, and silence in us any voice but your own, that in hearing your word we may become your glad and faithful people, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear then the word of God. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For years now, our church has participated in a program called Public Action to Deliver Shelter, better known by the acronym PADS. From 7 p.m. on Tuesday night until 7 a.m. on Wednesday mornings, our church shelters 30 to 50 homeless men, women, and children of various ages who have no home of their own. Our volunteers provide a healthy supper, a place to shower, a safe place to sleep, breakfast, and a sack lunch for the following day. PADS runs from October through the end of April. When we were designing this church building a few years ago, we intentionally planned the wing of the gymnasium to provide better facilities and more privacy for our PADS guests, with restrooms separate from the rest of the church and a large and wonderfully private shower room. In the old church, it was a shower stuck in the janitor's closet, and we were grateful to do that, but here we have a private shower room that families can use. The kitchen is built so that it opens up into the gym, and hot meals can be served through the window, and then a sliding barrier like on a roll-top desk closes off the kitchen to lessen the noise of cleanup while the guests are preparing for sleep. Some of the clientele are regulars. We see them over and over and over again, but there are quite a few number of people who are just seeking one night or several of shelter as they struggle through a particular crisis and then get back on their feet. It seems as though we have housed more and more women and children as the years have gone by, which is particularly heartbreaking. The people who come to us arrive by bus, mostly for safety reasons and because we can only house a limited number of guests. We're not supposed to allow walk-ins, but every now and then it happens, as it did one very cold winter night some years ago. I was working the early shift that night, filling in at the last minute for another volunteer who had come down with the flu. Shortly after 8 p.m., a soft knock sounded at the door of the church. I opened it to find a man and a woman standing side by side, huddled together against the bitter winter air. The sky that night was cloudless, and the starlight cast shadows across their troubled faces. They shivered in the cold. "Come in," I said, and stepped aside so they could make their way through. Cautiously, the man and woman entered the room where the other guests had already settled in. The woman hung her head as if embarrassed to enter a room full of strangers. She was very young and very pregnant, although she tried to cover that beneath her flimsy coat. Her ragged shoes looked about to come apart. The man was older, his face leathered and wrinkled. Streaks of gray striped his coal-black hair. He had one arm around the shoulders of the woman, but he reached out and took both my hands in his as a gesture of greeting. His hands were the hands of a laborer, calloused and rough, but his grip was gentle and steady and strong. Dark circles ringed their eyes. They moved slow with weary steps. I led them over to a table and chairs that had been vacated because everyone else had already eaten. And the woman sighed deeply as she sat down. George, another volunteer who was there, brought them plates heaped with servings of hot food. The single-minded attention the couple gave to their food made it clear that this was the first meal they had had in quite a while. "Would you like seconds?" George asked when they'd finished, and they barely hesitated for a fraction of a second before handing their empty plates back for a refill. After supper, the two of them sat in a couple of chairs over, staring mindlessly at the TV in the corner. The man cradled the woman's head against his shoulder, and she dozed quietly. They kept to themselves, not joining in conversation with anyone else, but nobody noticed or minded. It's not unusual for people to keep to themselves, to feel a little awkward in a room full of strangers. When it came time to settle in for the night, the man and woman had to separate. It's PADS policies that women sleep in one area of the room and men sleep in another, no exceptions. The two clung to each other for a moment, and I wasn't sure who comforted whom. Finally, the man bent over and kissed the woman on her forehead, and she went on into the bathroom to clean up for the night. When she came out, I led her over to a clean but very sparse and thin sleeping mat on the women's side of the room. I had to help her kneel down because it was difficult for her to move to the floor level, what with her swollen belly. The mat was an inadequate cushion for her bulky weight, but she did not complain. She curled up on one side, wrapping the thin blanket tight around her. I thought about the warm, comfortable bed I had back home, and a shiver of guilt swept through me. The woman tossed and turned fitfully for a few moments, unable to get into a comfortable position, but eventually fatigue won out, and she fell asleep. Once all the guests were settled for the night, the volunteers, we all sat around at a table, having coffee and tea, playing a few cards, waiting for our shift to end so we could go home. Home. T. Tears crept from my eyes as I thought about all that this word meant. More than a building with walls and a roof and a floor, but home, a place where I belonged. Where did this man and woman belong? Why were they out on a cold winter night, sleeping on separate sides of a floor in a strange and temporary place? What would happen to them when the time came for her child to be born, which for all intents and purposes looked like it could happen any day? I glanced over to where the men slept, but the man was not asleep. He was sitting upright on his sleeping mat, alert and awake. Surely he had plenty on his weary mind. I saw him stare across the room to where the woman slept, as if reluctant to let her out of his sight. After a while, he got up and stepped quietly around the sleeping figures on the other mats. Probably needed to use the bathroom, I thought. But instead, he headed over to the table where all of us volunteers were sitting. "May I?" he asked, his voice in a shroud of a thick and strange accent. It was the first I'd heard either of them speak. George quickly motioned to the empty chair next to him, and "Coffee?" he asked. The man nodded gratefully. George handed him a steaming cup of coffee in a styrofoam cup. He took a sip and then lowered the cup to the table, where he held it for a while, looking down at his large, coarse hands that picked at the edge of the white cup. "Thank you," he said in a whisper. "You have no idea what this means to us." He took another sip of coffee, and I noticed that his strong, steady hands were shaking. "You see," he said, "we are not welcome, even in our own homes. Our families do not understand the choices we have made, she and I. They do not approve of the way in which we have chosen to live our lives." He looked at each of us with his dark, soulful eyes, and none of us said a word. He went on, "I saw lights on at the church as we walked down the street tonight. I thought perhaps we would find welcome here. I'm glad I was not incorrect in my assumption. We have been turned away from churches before." Tears gathered in his eyes and glimmered in the soft light. "Where will you go next?" George asked kindly. "The weather tomorrow is going to be brutal. Perhaps we can find you a safe, warm place to stay for a while." "No," the man said quickly, "no. Thank you for your kindness, but no. We must keep going. I cannot explain to you, but you have given hope that someday we will find a place where we will be welcome to stay and raise our child, no questions asked. It is a beginning. Now I must try and rest. We have a long journey ahead of us." He stood up, bowed his head to each of us, and turned back into the shadows. I watched him go. He took a step, then stopped, then took another step, then stopped. I thought for a moment he had lost his way to his mat or just couldn't see clearly in the darkness. And then I noticed that he stopped by the mat of every sleeping person in that room. And as he did so, he touched his hand to his heart, and his lips moved in a silent whisper that I could only imagine was a prayer. For each and every person in that room, he said a prayer. I could not sleep that night when I got home. I curled up in my warm, comfortable bed in my large, safe home, and I thought about the man and the woman and their unborn child. I wondered how many other people were out there, not just looking for a place to spend one night, but searching for a place to call home. And how many did not find a place of welcome at a church? And what would Jesus have to say to all of us about that? That is what keeps me awake at night. Will you pray with me? Lord, you call us to open our hearts to you and to make your church a place where all are welcome. May we find room for all who seek a place to call home. May we all prepare our hearts for you. Amen.